Tim Goosen is teaching on Isaiah 6 on Wednesday night. I think you've got a couple more Wednesdays to hear him, so hope you will take advantage of that. He's doing an excellent job, so please pray for that. Well, we get Jack and Jennifer with us again, and we're so very happy for their presence. I don't know how many miles are on their car, but I'm sure it's a lot. I don't know how many air miles they got, but I'm sure it's a lot. And once in a while they go home, but I don't think too often. So we are very thankful to have them with us again, and we count it a great privilege. So Jack, may you give us the report, mission report you want to give today. We're looking forward to it.
Well, thanks, Pastor Hickson. It's just great to be here this morning. We always look forward to coming to Athens. I felt bad this morning. I was sitting in the chair in the back and with my computer, and people were coming up and saying hello, and I'm trying to figure out my PowerPoint here to get it, and I hope I didn't offend anybody. I have a hard enough time with technology, and it seems like every church is a trial in terms of the technology. Something different happens, you know. And so I was telling someone that yesterday I showed a presentation at the conference, and I got up early in the morning to make some changes in it and all of this, and put some pictures on, and then I put it on my thumb drive thing, and I got to the conference, and it was the wrong presentation. So anyway, now I'm having trouble with this thing here. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this morning. But thankful again for the opportunity to do ministry. In these times that we live, we've had to probably cancel over 8 or 9 trips since the start of the COVID era. But we're thankful that God has opened up some doors. We have been to Zambia a few times just returned there at the end of September, beginning of October, I guess it was. And then, Lord willing, we'll be going to Mexico in January. So it's a challenge to travel internationally these days because of different regulations. Every country is a little bit different, and you have to be tested before you fly, before you come home, sometimes while you're there, and that's not always easy to figure out how to do that in foreign countries. So anyway, but God has been so faithful. We're thankful for that. So I'm going to share this morning a presentation actually that I showed mostly yesterday. Pastor Hickson asked me to do it again this morning. So, and that is basically the first part is our ministry, our last ministry to Zambia in September. We've been going to Zambia for a number of years. I forget how many times we've been to Zambia altogether. Probably around 5 or 6 times, and currently we're working with a couple there, Todd and Kathy Beeman. They're missionaries with GFA Missions, our mission now, and they have planted 2 churches in the area that they work. One began in 2013, and then a few years later, I'm not sure the exact year, they planted a second church. And so we have been in both of those. They're in different villages. We've been in both of those villages for ministry. And on this trip in September, they actually dedicated the new church building in the second village that they planted the church. So we were thankful that we had the opportunity to be there for that. So I'm going to see if this is working, first of all. Okay, great. All right, so I'm going to stand. Can I stand on this side so I can see too as well? I don't want to be left out. I want to be able to see as well. So this is the first village, and this is 2013. And don't ask me to say the name of the village. But it's in 2013, we went and our host missionary Todd asked us to come to this location, and we actually set up our equipment outside under the tree there. You see us over here. Well, you don't see us there, but there we are under the tree here. And there was no ministry there. This was basically the first time he was in this village for evangelistic ministry. And we were there for 3 days. And while we were working, he was sharing the gospel with the folks that came out. And we treated, you know, a number of people in those 3 days. And some people were saved. We didn't know at that time exactly what the situation was regarding that. But after we left, we were there in September. After we left, he started a Bible study there in that village. And by December of that same year, he had a church. He started a church and actually had a building, a church building. And that's kind of unheard of in mission work, to be able to plant a church that fast in a new area. But obviously God was working in that area, and he blessed, and the ministry went forward. Just share with you, before we went to Zambia, my mother, we've talked about my mother here in the past, but my mother was in a nursing home, and she had some physical problems. As Pastor Hickson mentioned, we travel a lot, and we were away at one point, and she had some problems and had to be treated for that. And we came back, and the doctor said she was better. And so normally when we're home, I would visit her every day. I actually would have breakfast with her there at the facility every day. And when I went to see her after we got back from that trip, local trip, she wasn't the same to me. Something was different. And I called the doctor, talked with the doctor about it. I said, you know, we're going away out of the country. I just want to make sure that she is okay. And he said, no, she's fine. I said, well, she's different. There's something that's different about her right now, physically. He said, well, she's 90 years old. And I said, I understand that, but I visit her every day when I'm here, and I know there's something different. I said, would you do me a favor and go visit her, or do some tests, whatever. So anyway, he agreed to do that. And the day before we left, he called me, and he said, when I'm 90 years old, I hope I'm as healthy as your mother. He said, feel free to go. So we went, 2013, to Zambia. I think it was the second week we were there, I got a call from our son, and he said that my mother was in the hospital, very sick. And I got a call several hours later, and he said, she just died. So that was hard to hear, especially since I was struggling whether we should go or not. And so since that time, it's always bothered me that I had made the decision to go. I felt that the Lord would have us to go. And I thought I did whatever I could to be sure that my mother would be okay while we were gone. And that wasn't what God had. And it's not always easy to understand those things. But during the time between then and now, I was thankful that we went and now there was a church there in Zambia. And I didn't know all the other things that God was doing as a result of that until this trip when we went to Zambia here now in 2021. Now, I didn't treat this young man here. In fact, we tried to stay as far away from him as we could, but we did get to see him, so that was kind of nice. So this was September that we went, and this is the same village now where we worked under the tree. They have this church there, and it's just a vibrant ministry. It's not huge, but it was just so exciting to see what God was doing there. And so that actually is not the church building. That's just kind of, I don't know what they use that for, maybe like a fellowship hall type of thing. But you see all the people that came out for treatment during this time. We treated, I think, between 700 and 800 people in 6 days while we were there. We were hoping to be there for a few more days, but we had to get back to the capital to be tested to leave the country, so it shortened our time. But so we were thankful for that. But this is the church back here. This is the church building for this church in this village. And this is Pastor Bean, Todd Beeman, and he's actually sharing the gospel with these people. That's the way we do ministry. As we get there, these people were there when we got there, over probably close to 200 people, and that was the case each day. And so first thing, they would hear the gospel. And we had different people that did that, the missionary we were working with, Todd Beeman, and also, here he is again, Sherry. He's a very good storyteller. He always has an illustration of what he's trying to get across, sometimes with the little animals and different things like that. But he just has a knack of reaching the people there. So there was another missionary that has just come to the country probably a few months ago now, and he was helping out with the evangelistic ministry as well. And also this pastor here who had gone to Bible college in Zambia and graduated from Bible college in Zambia, and he has a church. He's planting a church in the northern part of Zambia, probably about 8 hours or so from here. But his wife is a nurse, and so they came while we were there. She participated as a nurse treating people, and he did the evangelistic ministry as well. So no one escaped really without hearing the gospel, which is very comforting. And then people one-on-one had opportunity to hear the gospel. Pastor Beeman has taken the bridge track. I don't know if you're familiar with the bridge track. I think you are here. The bridge track, he has taken that and got permission to translate it into the local language. And he has it on a flip chart thing. He uses that all the time. And it's really effective with these people, partly because of the content of it, but also the pictures that are in it. So we're thankful for that. And we gave out a lot of reading glasses, and usually what we do is we have people try on the glasses, and then we give them a Bible and to read a portion of the Bible, usually John chapter 3. So that's what they do. And they read to see if they can understand, both because of the glasses, and hopefully they're understanding the word of God, and there's people there that can minister to them in that way. So that is how the evangelistic part of the ministry goes. And then obviously you know that we again had medical people as well as dental, and so here's my dental area. My wife was absent from the dental area this time. We were short one person in the pharmacy area where we give the people their medications. So I traded her, to the pharmacy, and in return, I got the man with the hat, John, who was my assistant in the background there. John is not saved, and we have been ministering to John. This was the second time now that we had him with us, and so we are praying for his salvation. But the girl in the foreground here, Evelyn, her name is, well, that's how they say it there, Evelyn. And the last time we were there in March of this year, Evelyn made a profession of faith. And she had attended a church service, and she came forward and trusted in Jesus Christ as her Savior at that time. And so when I saw her again, her job during the ministry time was to bring the patients, the dental patients from where they were waiting to the dental office for treatment. So we had a lot of interactions, her and I, during both trips. And so I asked her, I said, "So have you been continuing in church?" And she looked at me and she was quite embarrassed, and she said, "Well, no." She said, "I haven't been to church since that time, last time you were here in March." And so during the days that we were there, I talked with her a little bit, and it turns out her husband does not know the Lord as his Savior, and that seems to be an issue that is hindering her from attending church. And so I said, "Well, would you please consider coming out to the dedication ceremony at the other church?" And so thankfully she came. And so we're praying for her that, one, that the profession she made was genuine, and two, that she would be able to be at church on a regular basis as the Lord would have her be there. So that's her story. And so we had a medical doctor with us, and nurses, and the medical doctor here was removing wax from this person's ear, and then also giving an injection of steroid cortisone, probably, in the knee of another patient. So and that's kind of like a miracle drug, we'll say, in the sense of these types of things. He gives an injection, the person is limping coming in, he gets an injection, he walks right out without a limp. It's amazing. Anyway, so they're pretty happy about that. I love this picture with one of our nurses there, and you can see in the back, she's talking to the mother. There's a baby on the back of the mother, and then there's another young child climbing up the back of the chair there. So it's always interesting. The things you try to have to get around to treat people and so on, but that was wonderful. So here's my wife. She's I'm sure she was missing me terribly there, but she's working in the pharmacy doing the medicines and that. It's kind of like what happened here. Pastor DeMar traded me with Pastor Hickson so I would be here today instead of up there. They didn't tell me about that. I don't know if there was a payoff or something. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I just got a note from one of them saying, "You're going to be at Athens on Sunday." I said, "Okay." Anyway, no, we were thankful to be here. But so my wife was traded also. Anyway, so here we are again in the dental, back in the dental office. And the man in the front here, his name is Dan. Dan worked with us the last time we were there in March as well. And he recently, between March and now, he was saved. He trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he, a couple of weeks before we came on this trip in September, he was baptized. And he was all excited about that. He was just so happy. And he's really been a huge part of the ministry there in a short amount of time. So Dan was there and helping me. He would sterilize my instruments for me and give out the medicines that the people needed after I treated them. And so what we usually do in the clinic area, as the evangelism is going on when we first get there in the morning with a group of people that's waiting in the clinic, in the building where we're going to treat people, we tend to gather, we gather together, the doctors, dentists, and other workers, and pray before we start. And so this one day we gathered together And I asked Dan if he would pray. I shouldn't have done that because he's newly saved, and he was quite embarrassed, and he said, maybe not, he said. I should have asked him privately if he would pray, but anyway, he said, but ask me Monday. This was Friday. He said, ask me Monday. And so I said, okay. And so Monday came, and I saw him. I said, Dan, you don't have to pray today. You know, that's not a problem. He said, no, I want to pray. And so when it was time to gather together and pray, Dan wasn't there. And I'm like, oh, no. And so I said, where's Dan? You know, so somebody ran and got him, and he prayed. And he prayed just a wonderful prayer to start the day. And so I'm just thankful. It's just interesting to see the contrast between Evelyn that I mentioned before and Dan. God is really working in this young man's heart, and he's growing already, and it's just neat to have some kind of influence in that area. So that's what we do. So here we are treating. I had told, we were in Togo this year as well. I forget what month that was. What month? August. She's not even sure. But August we were there. I think it was July. But anyway, somebody took a picture of me there as I was treating somebody with my head down. Now, I never look at the top of my head. I never do. And when they took the picture back then, top of my head, I looked at it and I said, wait a minute, there's not a lot of hair there. And so I told the missionary, I said, whatever you do, don't take a picture when I have my head down. So every picture he took, I have my head down, you know. And so I look at this, I said, oh, no, you can't see it so good. It's not as clear, but, yeah, it's not. It's going away. Anyway, so that's one of the trials of life. But this young man, I tell Evelyn, she's the one that brings patients to me, I tell her, don't bring men between 20 and 40 years old. Don't bring men as patients. She said, why not? I said, one, their teeth are more difficult to remove because they're usually strong men. And two, they're babies. they get so nervous coming to the dentist. I said, bring the women, but not the young men. So anyway, she brought this young man. We took out a couple of teeth. Everything went fine. He gets out of the dental chair, and down he goes. He fainted, you know, and that's all. He just fainted. And he was so embarrassed after he woke up, you know, but it was fine. But young men, I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. And then we had other people doing the preliminary test, temperature and all of that stuff there. So we had a great ministry. I'm very, very thankful for that. And just really encouraging to see what God was doing there. And so this is the second church now. This is called Muma Village. Both of the churches are called Calvary Baptist Church. This is in Muma. And so this is the new church building. It was finished just weeks before we got there. I think actually the week before we got there, they finished it. It's a good sized building, and we're thankful for that. And they had a ceremony that day where they invited the chief of that province where both of these churches are. And the chief has been very helpful to us getting our permission to do the medical care for the patients there. I've actually done some work on his teeth, and so he's been very friendly to us. Several months ago, somebody stole his laptop computer, and I said to myself, well, I said to my wife, who would steal the computer of the chief? You know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen when that person gets found out. But anyway, the missionaries sent me an email, and he said the chief is really anxious to get a used laptop computer. He said, asked me, he said, is there any way you might be able to help us with this? So I wrote, you might have seen it, I wrote it in our newsletter. And we were supposed to go in July. I said, you know, if anybody has one. So I had, I'll tell you, I probably had about 10 offers from people to provide a laptop computer for this chief. I said, well, I'm going to put that in the newsletter that I want a computer, too. Anyway, I'm just kidding about that. But a pastor in Maine, actually, very good with refurbishing computers, and so he gave us a laptop to bring to the chief. So when he came for the dedication of the building, he spoke at that service. Well, actually, it was after the service. He didn't come for church. The church service, he came after. But anyway, he got his laptop. You can't see it very good. The man in the back has a black coat on, but I am actually giving him the computer there. So we were thankful for that. So this is the new, inside of the new church, and it's just really great to see how full it was. And people were there from both churches, the first church and the first village that we talked about, and then this church here. This building is a lot bigger than the building in the first church because the area is a lot bigger here. And actually, there are a lot of people that attend this church on a regular basis. I mean, I'm telling you, God is doing the work there. The missionary really, he tells us, he said, I could plant a church in almost every village in this area, except I can't do it by myself. You know, I need help. And it's kind of sad. And the other man that I showed you, the tall man in the orange shirt, I think, that was sharing the gospel, he's new in the area. And so there's another village a little further out, maybe 20 minutes, half an hour from this one, that he might be interested. And so the next time we go, Lord willing, in May, we might be working in that new area to see if we could start another church. So praise the Lord for that. So during this service, actually after the service ended, the missionary asked the people that were sitting there, how many people there, trying to think how to put it, how many of the people there were at the first church location in 2013? How many of you, he said, saw the dentist in 2013 and are here today? And I think about 10 people raised their hand. I said to the Lord, thank you for telling me that. Thank you for showing me that. People were saved in 2013 and are continuing with the Lord. And I just great is God's faithfulness. He showed me that. And I just, it's been a real encouragement to me. Because since 2013, it's been really on my heart. You know, did I make the right decision? Did I do the right thing? And the Lord showed me, yes, you did the right thing. So we're thankful. So it was a blessing. The trip was a blessing. So hard, though, I tell you, to travel internationally. But we're thankful. So we got to see some lions and elephants and such during that time. What I want to share now is not your traditional Bible message, but I hope it will be an encouragement to you as well. It's been on my heart with what is going on in our country and in the world today. You know, it's just not just the virus, but everything else that's going on. It's just really hard to understand things, what's going on. And it's been really something that has challenged me in my faith, in the sense, not like I'm doubting my salvation or anything like that, but just like, okay, what does God want us to do this time, during this time? I don't know. It's just unprecedented what's going on, and it's just so hard to figure it out. And it's just a challenging time. And so it's an extraordinary time. And I say extraordinary times demand extraordinary Christians. We're the ones that have the truth. And we have what people need during this time. We have, especially, you know, so many people have been affected by the virus in one way or another, with family members and themselves or whatever it is. You know people. You know people that have died because of it and so on. We all do. It's just challenging time. And we can get distracted because of that. As Christians, we can get distracted by the virus issues, and we can get distracted by the political issues, and our focus could be on those things rather than, okay, what does God really want me to do at this time? And so I've just, you know, been looking at this and just praying about it, but Andres told me some things would change in my program. But anyway, I think I can remember. No, I can't. All right, there is no need for faith where there is no consciousness of an element of risk. Faith, to be worthy of the name, must embrace doubt. This is Elizabeth Elliot. You can't see that on there. But we need a strong faith during this time. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Our faith has to be stronger than our fear. I think that's the point she's making there. Our faith needs to be stronger than our fear. You remember the story in the Gospels of Jesus in the boat with the disciples. They're on the Sea of Galilee, and he's asleep in the back of the boat, and the storm comes up, and you know, the disciples are terrified. They think they're going to die, and they wake Jesus up, and you know, and they're saying to him, "Don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to die here?" And of course he cared, and so he wakes up, and what does he do? He calms the sea. I think I told you this story before about the time we were in Micronesia and we were in the boat and I thought I was going to die. And I kept saying to the ocean, "Peace be still," and nothing happened. It doesn't work for us, but it worked for God. Jesus did that. He said, "Peace be still," and the sea calmed. The waves stopped. And the disciples couldn't believe what happened. They were afraid during the storm, and after the sea was calmed by Jesus, they were terrified. They're like, "What manner of man is this that has control over the sea?" And what did Jesus say to them? And I'll read from Mark's account in chapter 4, verse 40. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Or basically, not so much that they didn't have any faith, but that faith wasn't strong enough to overcome their fear. We need a strong faith, especially during the times that we're living in today. We need that strong faith of trusting God, that God is in control. He's in control of everything that's going on in the world today. It's amazing, the things that are going on. So Sarah Hall Boardman Judson, she's got a lot of names, but she was a missionary in Myanmar, in Burma, it was called then, when she was there. And she was married to a man named George Boardman. And Sarah and George were in a place, at that time it was called Tavoy in Burma. Today it's called Dawei. And Dawei is where my wife and I have had ministry for a couple of times now, and I think you pray for Pastor Job regarding that. And they were in that area, that city of Dawei, but they left because they couldn't. It was so hard. The work was so hard there. It's Buddhist, 100% Buddhist area. And this young man that we work with is now working in that same area. And this is what she said: "How can I be so inactive when I know that thousands are perishing in this land land of grace, and millions in other lands are at this very moment kneeling before senseless idols.
That's so applicable to Myanmar today. There's statues of Buddha everywhere. These gold domed pagodas and stuff everywhere. Everybody has a place in their house for a Buddha shrine. And they kneel, they pray, they give them food and all of this stuff. And so she was burdened to do this, to be there. Her husband died. She married Adoniram Judson. You've heard of Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson, he translated the Bible into the Burmese language. They use it today still. And they did a great work there. The young man that's there now, he's doing a great work. People are being saved. Buddhist monks are being saved. It's amazing what God is doing there now. But it's hard. It's very hard, especially in Myanmar today. What's going on there? The military has taken over the government. And they're killing people. They're killing a lot of Christians. And the virus is there today. And large numbers of people are sick and dying because they have no care. The hospitals have no medicines, even if they're open, they have nothing. There's no access to the vaccine, and people are getting sick and dying. And it's just horrible. But this young man, in the midst of that, is continuing in his ministry. I got an email from him yesterday, and I read it this morning, actually. And he's got a list of things that he's been doing, evangelistic things that he's been doing. And he can't even, like, leave his house. I mean, he's on Zoom almost every day with different people and that. They can leave for short periods of time and things like that. So anyway, this is what we need to be doing during this time, taking advantage of difficulties that people are having. We don't want people to have any difficulties, but people are looking for help, not just physical help. People are scared. People are scared. And we have what they need. And we need to be focused on that and not on these other things that are going on around us. That's the devil. The devil wants us to be distracted from the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to evangelize the lost, to get the word out. Yet churches, what are they doing? They're arguing among each other. You know, there's big issues, yes, but this is a church. Christians, we need to love each other, be unified, and focused on what God would have us to be doing as a church, getting the gospel out to people. That's what's important. This is the Great Commission. And there's a lot we can talk about in these verses, but I focus on the last line here. It talks about the fact that Jesus is with us always. He's always with us, even unto the end of the world. We have God on our side. We do. God is on our side. The devil is making a lot of inroads today, but God is on our side. I put this verse in my pocket, not literally, every time we travel. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For why? The Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Jesus is with us all the time. He is our strength. We need to focus on that and not on all the other things that are going on around us. Hudson Taylor, he said, we did not come to China because missionary work here was either safe or easy. He was a medical missionary, by the way. He was a medical doctor. That's where he started out. But because he called us to go. We did not enter upon our present position under a guarantee of human protection, but relying on the promise of his presence. Relying on the presence of God. God is with us.
This is what we have to focus on, the promises of God. The promises of God. Not on all of these other things that are going on. What is the heart of God? The heart of God is that no one would perish. God doesn't want to see anyone die without knowing how to go to heaven. And it's our responsibility to be focused on that, to be getting the word out to people. Don't be distracted by all of these other things. That's the devil. Ezekiel chapter 18. I've been reading just my daily readings in the book of Ezekiel. Not an easy book to read through. There's a lot of judgment in it. It's kind of discouraging at times. But in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23, same idea here, if I can find it. And this is the Lord talking through the prophet. He says, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die?" God is saying this. "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" This is God's heart. People will come to know the Lord. It needs to be our heart as well. We need to have this focus, especially now. He repeats this again in chapter 33. Same thing. God doesn't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. And that's what we have to focus on this morning. I was really convicted this morning because yesterday, this is so embarrassing. Just yesterday, I said to the people there in the conference, I said, I like to give out gospel tracts anytime I can. Anytime I see somebody, you know, give them a gospel tract. Every time I go through the drive-thru, I think I told you that before. You know what? Nobody in Salem, Ohio goes through a drive-thru. Nobody does. I asked them that yesterday. That, you know, whoever's there, I said, "How many of you go through a drive-thru?" Nobody raised their hand. Come on. Everybody goes through a drive-thru, especially in New England. It's Dunkin' Donuts all the time, you know, Dunkin' Donuts. And so I said, that is a great place to give people tracts. Give them tracts. I have them in my side of my car door, you know, and I don't always do it, but I want to always do it. So today, we're staying in a hotel. I went downstairs to get some coffee. It wasn't Dunkin' Donuts, but it was coffee. But anyway, I went downstairs to get some coffee. I'm get back in the elevator to come up. And this young guy gets in the elevator with me. I didn't say anything to him. Nothing. I didn't even give him a gospel tract. He got out of the elevator. I said to the Lord, "I'm sorry." We need to be thinking about that when we see people. This guy probably doesn't know the Lord. I had the opportunity to share the gospel with him. At least give him a tract. I didn't even have a tract with me. I was so embarrassed about that. Don't tell them at Salem Bible Church that I didn't do that. As a Christian, we are prepared. Are we prepared and willing to meet the extraordinary challenges before us? The time is short. I think the time is really short. I think the Lord can come at any time. I'm not prophesying that. I'm just saying, you know, the Lord can come at any time. And the time is short, and there's so many people that don't know the Lord. And the people that are committed, like I tell you, everywhere we go, missionaries are, we need help, we need help. Every mission agency that I know, the numbers of missionaries is going down. And the number of people that they're interacting with to take their place is going down as well. Who's going to take the place of these missionaries? The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Matthew 9:37. That section, Jesus went about healing people. I used to think, oh, this is a great medical missions thing. And it is. And people were being healed. And he was teaching them. But he looked at all of these people and he was moved with compassion, it says. Not because they were sick physically. He said they're like sheep without a shepherd. They were being led astray by the teachers of that day. They weren't telling them the truth. They weren't telling them the way to heaven. They were telling them to obey all of these things. And that moved him with compassion. He was sorrowful because these people were not being taught the truth. Who's going to teach them? We need to be teaching them the truth. And that's when he said, the harvest is plenteous. Look at all these people, he said. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Romans 12:1. How many of you have memorized these verses? How many of you live them every day? Don't raise your hand, because I'd have to raise my hand. This is tough. But this is what God desires of us, that we present ourselves to him. Here I am, Lord, Isaiah 6. Here I am, Lord. I probably told you this story before, but years ago, 1987, I was saved. I gave up my business. I started working in nursing homes. God put me there. And I started seeing people in nursing homes. I'd go and I'd examine their mouth and go back. And you know what I noticed? This is, you know, it takes me a while to notice things, but a lot of people die in nursing homes. That's kind of sad. It's kind of sad, but it's reality. A lot of people die in nursing homes. And I was seeing those people, and I was looking in their mouths, but I was not concerned about their soul. I didn't share with them the gospel. In a short period of time, I would see people, and they would die after I saw them, and I didn't tell them the gospel. Nothing. It really convicted me. I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. Romans 1:16 was the verse God used in my heart and in my life. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because of the power of God unto salvation. This is what we have within us, the power of God, the salvation. We have the gospel. We need to be sharing it. I told the Lord then, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. I want to serve you with my life. I'll do it. The first thing he made me do, I say made me because I didn't want to do it, was to teach the Bible in nursing homes. I was so scared to do that. I remember going to the first nursing home to the administrator. I said to the administrator, I feel like God wants me to teach the Bible in your facility. And she says to me, great. I'm like, really? She said, can you start next week? I'm like, no, I'm thinking about 6 months, you know? And then I went to a Jewish nursing home and I told them the same thing. And they said, yes, please. I'm like, you're kidding. I mean, it's a wide open door, nursing homes. Not so much now, but it's a wide open door. But I was so scared. But I'm thankful the Lord said, okay, you can serve me and you can still be a dentist. That was amazing to me that we could do that. And so, but this is where we got to be in our lives, that we got to be able to say to the Lord, I will do it. Whatever it is you want me to do, make that commitment with the Lord. It doesn't matter your age. There's a lot of things you can do right here. You don't have to go to Zambia. I don't know where I saw this. I read it somewhere. A veteran is someone who at one point in his life wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount of up to and including my life. My wife and I, we've had the opportunity to be at a lot of places around the world where soldiers from the United States died in the thousands storming beaches. They were willing to give up their life because they believed in something. And here we are. We can't find Christians to serve the Lord with their lives. Why? I don't know. Commitment. God calls every believer to live the surrendered life. God reveals his will to those who have already decided to do it. I tell you, once you decide to do it, stand back, because God is going to, he's going to send you to do that, whatever it is. This book, this is a book called Daring Devotion. It's a devotional type book, and it has like 31 missionary stories in it of people who lived that surrendered life. It's amazing. I really would encourage you to read it, to get it. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. I stole this from Pastor Hickson. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. My wife and I have been watching. I was going to say listening, but now it's watching YouTube. And we've been going through Luke with Pastor Hickson. It's been a real blessing. But I was thinking on these things that I'm sharing with you today, and he was in Luke chapter 9. I can't find it. Luke chapter 9 in my Bible. It's not here anymore. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This is what God wants from his disciples, his followers. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. I should be able to say it from memory. Luke 9, 23. Here it is. And he said to them, this is Jesus talking to the followers here. Verse 22 says, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. He's talking about, you know, why he had come. And verse 23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny himself. There's a lot of things I like to do. And some of those things distract me from doing what God wants me to be doing. We need to be careful there. That's the devil. So present your bodies a living sacrifice. We read that, Romans 12, 1. That involves commitment. Commit to the Lord. I'm going to do this. And then this verse we just read. The cost of discipleship is a radical commitment that supersedes all cultural and what? Family ties. Family ties. You know what I think about when I read that? Family ties. That is a hard sacrifice. It's a hard sacrifice. We had been to Zambia. We came before Zambia. We were in South Carolina at a missions conference, Bob Jones University. We went to South Carolina. We went to Zambia. We came back from Zambia. We went to Faith Baptist Bible College to visit Andre's sister for another mission conference. And we came back from that not long ago. And we called our daughter, can we come and see you? You know? And we went and visited her. And she said, well, how long are you going to be here? I said, we're leaving next week. She said, you got to go away again? How does that make you feel? You got to go away again? It's hard. But it's worth it. Commitment. We need to commit, and then we need to focus. We need to focus because the devil, once you make that commitment, the devil is truly your adversary. Years ago, I had to give up my garage in my house. It was in the house, you know, garage. and we made a mission office there, and then now it's an apartment that Hickson's have stayed in. We use it for that. And so I've been really, like, for years, I said, I'm tired of getting the snow off my cars, you know, and all of this stuff. I said to them, well, I really would like to have a garage for my cars. Anyway, that's what we're doing now. The Lord has allowed us to be able to have a garage built on the side of the other side of our house. So we're having that done, and they're digging up my yard. There's a huge hole in my yard. I'm like, no, I didn't mean that, you know. Anyway, but I was watching the other day. They have to dig. Some of you know this better than I do. They have to dig around and to put the footers in to do the foundation. So they dig the hole. They have this machine. I don't know what they call it. They stand in there, it shoots a laser thing, and then they have a guy in the hole, he holds up a pole, it has a target on the top of it, and so anytime they're at the right depth, it beeps when the laser beam hits it. It beeps. I mean, it's driving me crazy, just beeping all day. But every time it was in the right place, it beeped. When it was in the wrong place, nothing was happening. Focus. This is what we got to do. We need to be laser focused. We make a commitment to the Lord, and we have to follow through. We have to follow through. Evelyn, remember Evelyn? You make a commitment to the Lord. Follow through. Focus. Don't let things distract you. Be laser focused. 1 Samuel 12. Let me see if I can find that in my Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 12. I'm almost done, sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 12. I don't like it when preachers say that. It never means they're almost done. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20. Samuel, this is at the time when the Israelite people wanted a king. And the Lord gave him Saul. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness in asking for a king and not following the Lord. Yet, turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. We spend a lot of our time going after vain things. And I'm not saying you can't do anything, you know, live like a monk. No. I mean, God has blessed us with a lot of things that can entertain us, but help us to whatever. And so, but, you know, they're not bad things. I tell my wife all the time, I want a boat. I want a boat. She said, what are you going to do with a boat? I said, I don't know, but I want a boat. I see all these people driving around with boats. You know, that's not a bad thing to have a boat. It's a bad thing to spend all your time on your boat. You know, that's what it is. You gotta keep things in perspective. You have to be laser focused. Laser focused. The other verse there was the one I mentioned about that your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, like the lion that we saw in the picture, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is after us. Don't be deceived by that. The devil is after us. Christians. I'll be political for a minute. What is happening in our country? They are going after Christians. Christians. So Jesus was focused. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Blame Pastor Hickson. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. He mentioned this. We were listening in Luke chapter 9. And he mentioned about Jesus. In verse 51, it says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was focused on going to Jerusalem. Why was he going there? He was going there to die. And he was focused on that. He set his face. He wasn't distracted. He went into one village in Samaria and they were like, hey, you're not paying any attention to us. They got mad and the disciples wanted to kill them all. But no, he was focused on going to Jerusalem. Because that's what God, his Father, wanted him to do. That's why he sent him. Praise the Lord, he did it for us. He did it for us, focused on it. And he went. This is hard to see, this picture, but we had the opportunity to see this leopard up in a tree. And we were there in a car on the bottom, and there were several other people watching this leopard. And he sat in that tree in that pose for all of the time that we were there. It probably was 20 minutes to half an hour. I'm sitting in the car. I'm saying to the guy, let's go. He's not doing anything. Let's go. But he was focused on something, probably something that he could eat. But he was focused. This is the way we got to be in our Christian life. So I'm not going to take the time to read all these verses. But when it was time, he was focused on the task. And the task was that he would die on the cross. And we'll end with this. Three potential disciples in the last part of this chapter, verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, you have to give up comforts. You have to give up comforts. And I call this guy the lack of comforts follower. He didn't want to do it. Well, it doesn't tell us that in the text, but I'm thinking that none of these guys did what they should have done. But he was comfortable. When we go on these trips, we give up comforts. We give up comforts. The guys that were working on digging up my yard, they had to, you know, nothing ever costs what they tell you it's going to cost. They have to relocate the sewer drain thing. And so he says to me, you know, there's going to come a time where we have to disconnect this and you won't be able to use the facilities in your house. He said, I hope that's okay. I said, you know what? We go everywhere. We don't know what a bathroom is. I mean, you know, I mean, to have a bathroom in your house, this is something, you know? I mean, the first time we went to Cameroon, I think it was, we're driving down this road, and the missionary stops the car, and he says, okay, we're here. And we're like, where? The bathroom. You look around, there's no buildings anywhere. There's no buildings. Men and women. He said, men on this side, women on that side. You have to give up comforts. And you say, what's the big deal? If this is what God wants you do it. And God takes care of it. Verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So this is the lack of commitment follower. He didn't want to commit to going. And then the third one. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. A lack of urgency. Follower. I guess I didn't keep up with that, but anyway. But today, think about it in your own life. I have to think about this all the time. I don't know that there's a trip that we go on where I don't say to my wife, this is the last time. Because it's not always easy. not. Then I read Joshua 1:9. God is with you wherever you go. That's what we need to focus on. This is what God has called you to. You do it until he says stop. So today, just think about your own life. Is there something there that is hindering you? Maybe just from serving the Lord here at Athens Bible Church. Maybe that's it. God wants us to be focused. He wants us to give him our lives. And there's a tremendous need. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for saving our souls. And pray if there's anyone here who's never trusted in Jesus Christ, or anyone listening or watching, that today would be the day that they would do that. They would realize their sinfulness, repent, and trust Jesus Christ as their sin bearer. And we pray if there's anyone here that you are working in their lives to have them serve you in a certain way, and they continue to resist, we pray that the barrier would be broken down and that they would commit to that. And just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for how you take such good care of us all. We pray that you would continue to watch over this church. May it be a beacon here in this location. It's here for a reason, to be a beacon. We pray that you would use it in such a way that many souls would be saved as a result. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.